Young people who vape have a shocking 1 in 3 chance of becoming cigarette smokers, a reversal of long-time tobacco control progress. With more about this threat to public health, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Jessica Mongilio, PhD, is a research fellow at the Center for the Study of Drugs, Alcohol, Smoking, and Health at the University of Michigan School of Nursing, and she was one of the lead researchers on the study. Jessica, your study looked at potential connections between vaping and cigarette use in teenagers. Tell us about the major findings in your study and why they're so important.
Our study looked at 3 different generations of teenagers, those that were born in 1958, those that were born in 1970, and those that were born in about 2001, and looked at the likelihood of cigarette smoking at age 17. And we found that, as we would kind of expect, there's a pretty significant decline in the prevalence of cigarette smoking across those 3 cohorts. Obviously, with the most recent cohort having a really low prevalence of cigarette smoking, but that's only true for youth who haven't used e-cigarettes or vaped. For youth who have previously used e-cigarettes, and especially for youth who currently use e-cigarettes, their probability of cigarette smoking looks about the same as those kids who were born in 1958 or who were teenagers in the 1970s when cigarettes were extremely popular.
Your study noted that consistent e-cigarette users had nearly a 1 in 3 chance of also smoking cigarettes. Can you explain how that compares to teens who never vaped?
It's markedly different from teenagers who never vaped, because those who never vaped had about a 1% probability of cigarette smoking. So we're talking about a very, very stark difference.
Do we know if vaping actually causes teens to start smoking, or could it be that the same teens who are drawn to vaping are also more likely to smoke?
That's a really great question, and we call that the common liability hypothesis in research. And while this study doesn't address that specifically, there are some other research papers out, including some that are by my colleagues on this paper, that do look at whether or not e-cigarettes can lead to cigarette use. And they do find that for teenagers, that does seem to be the case. It does appear that even when you take teenagers who are relatively similar on all of those things that might lead to cigarette smoking, might make someone more likely to smoke cigarettes in the first place, even when you take 2 teenagers who look the exact same on those characteristics, the ones who smoke e-cigarettes are much more likely to then start smoking cigarettes.
Before the rise of vaping, what factors were driving that steady decline in teen cigarette smoking, and how have e-cigarettes disrupted that progress?
There were a lot of things that were really driving that decline, including some really good preventative policies that were in place, restricting age of purchase, who could sell regular cigarettes, talking about like advertising changes and what was allowed to be advertised for cigarettes, as well as educational campaigns that became very popular. Obviously, many of us are familiar with the DARE campaigns. And although there have been some mixed feelings about the efficacy of those campaigns, they were part of a larger movement that did seem to really impact the prevalence of cigarette smoking among teenagers. E-cigarettes kind of came in and disrupted a lot of those things because they fell outside of the bounds of those policies. So they weren't necessarily being regulated in the same way. They weren't subject to the same restrictions on buying or advertising. And they also, admittedly, had a lot of characteristics that appealed to a wide breadth of people, including teenagers, such as their perceived lack of health harms and, of course, the flavors.
So since e-cigarettes fell outside those past successful policies, what kind of policy changes do you think are needed now?
Well, there have been some really great strides in incorporating e-cigarettes and other forms of tobacco and nicotine that are smokeless, for instance, like snus pouches or Zyn pouches, into existing tobacco regulation policies. And so I think that's a really great first step. I think there are some places where policies and prevention efforts are needed and regulatory efforts are needed. Specifically thinking about like social media advertisement is a wild west of nicotine and tobacco advertising and is very, very poorly enforced, which is deeply understandable because it would be very difficult to enforce it. But thinking about those policies and those newer avenues in which teenagers are being exposed to e-cigarettes, I think is really important for prevention moving forward.
Beyond the risk of cigarette smoking, what are the other health effects of e-cigarettes on teens that concern you most at this stage?
My largest health concern would be nicotine dependence. It is relatively overlooked how much nicotine e-cigarettes can contain and how much nicotine is being consumed when one uses an e-cigarette. And even without some of the additional chemicals that were in combustible cigarettes, and even disregarding the conversation about what chemicals are also present in e-liquid in vapes, nicotine dependence and just like high amounts of nicotine in the body is something that can be very detrimental for health in the long run. And I think that's deeply concerning that it's a relatively unconscious process, this much nicotine intake among e-cigarette users.
Was there one thing in your study that jumped out as most surprising to you?
I think one of the things that we found most surprising in this study was actually not necessarily the main findings about the prevalence of cigarette smoking and the probabilities as they might be affected by e-cigarettes, but more so some of the other intergenerational shifts in risk factors that we've seen. So it was really interesting to see how risk factors for cigarette smoking have changed over time, including things like parental education or even the percentage of parents who reported smoking, because you also see very stark changes in those trends as well. And I think it was really interesting to see just these broad intergenerational shifts.
If you could speak directly to parents or policymakers about the results of this study and what they should learn from it, what would be your main message?
Have open communication with teenagers about e-cigarettes and vaping and the health harms that are posed by it. There is a lot of work out there that supports the idea that having those conversations with your parents and friends about e-cigarettes being harmful and expressing disapproval if they were to be used is a really great deterrent for ever using e-cigarettes or cigarettes. So I think my message would mostly be about education and communication.
Jessica Mongilio, PhD from the University of Michigan School of Nursing. Thank you very much for joining us today on InfoTrack.
Thank you for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That'll do it for this edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitten. Thanks for listening. Join us next time for another edition of InfoTrack.